It's Apostle Joseph Rodriguez with Truth Be Told, Church of the Living Christ. And here we sweat it to the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Amen. Today we're going to talk about speaking in tongues and how speaking in tongues is not the evidence that you're a true believer. Amen. Because we have a lot of false teachers and people that have been preaching this destructive and hurtful doctrine, as you will. This doctrine has caused many to feel unworthy and feel like they were not true believers because they couldn't speak in tongues. Some people, you know, actually lost their faith because of these very type of doctrines. Amen. And that's why we're going to break the word down and sawdust today. We're going to expose the lies for what they are and the truth for what it is. Amen. Let's start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father God, I ask that you bring forth mysteries, dear Father God. I declare revelations over your children in this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, you know, there was a debate last year between Marcus Rogers and Alan Parr. Those are two very known, you know, believers with YouTube channels and some of them even their own churches, amen. And in this debate, you know, one of the things that Alan Parr asked was, how is it possible? The debate, first and foremost, was Marcus Rogers claiming that the evidence of being a true believer is speaking in tongues. And Alan Parr asking this question to start off in the debate. How is it possible if no one in the Old Testament spoke in tongues? And Marcus said, nobody was full of the Holy Spirit in those days, that's why. And then he tried to say that the Holy Ghost just fell upon them instead. Like, there's a difference between being full of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost falling upon someone like they did in the Old Testament. Amen. So, with that being said, the debate once again was Marcus Rogers claiming that the evidence of a true believer is speaking in tongues and Alan Parr saying in opposition that how is that possible if no one in the Old Testament spoke in tongues? Amen. Now let's dive into the Word of God. It is extremely important, though, to notice that Psalms 51:11 reveals King David pleaded that the Holy Ghost not be taken from him after he had sinned in having sexual relations with Bathsheba. Consequently, we must understand that the Holy Ghost did not permanently dwell in the Old Testament individuals. Rather, it filled them temporarily while God used them. Amen. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Psalms 51:11. Again, amen. The Holy Spirit also came upon Isaiah in Isaiah 59:21, praise God, and also in Ezekiel 2:2, 3, and 24, and also in Daniel 5:11. Each of these passages states the Holy Ghost moved these prophets to write. Amen. And finally, in 1 Chronicles 12:18 and 2 Chronicles 20:14-15 tell us that the Holy Ghost came upon Amasai and Jehaziel. In every instance, the Holy Ghost came upon people. That is, the Holy Ghost temporarily filled them. Amen. He did not dwell permanently with the Old Testament saints, though. Furthermore, I'll prove with Bible that his teachings of the evidence of the Holy Ghost being speaking in tongues, that you being a true believer speaking in tongues, that's false. Amen. Because we see here that the Holy Ghost fell upon some saints and they spoke in tongues. Now let's turn to Acts 19:6 in the King James Bible. It reads, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. Wait, Marcus just said, though, in the debate with Parr, that they didn't speak in tongues in the old days because the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit only fell upon them. Amen. But we see this scripture in the New Testament of those who spoke in tongues, it was when the Spirit fell upon them. Amen. Can I get a witness today? Just like the how the Holy Spirit fell upon those in the old days, in the New Testament, in this scripture, in Acts chapter 19, verses 6 in the King James Bible, it reads once again, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That's the same thing as falling upon them as those in the old days. But these ones in the new days, it fell upon them and they spoke in tongues. Amen. So we got to understand that once again, the only difference between the Holy Ghost falling upon believers in the Old Testament and the Holy Ghost filling believers in the New Testament is how long it filled the believer. The only difference is in the old days and in right now is how long the Holy Ghost is with us. In the old days, God used individual people and he was with them and the Spirit of the Lord was with them and the Spirit ministered to them different gifts based on their will over their life in that time. Amen. But nowadays, because we have Jesus and the curtain has been ripped in two and now he's available for free, slave, Jew, and Gentile, praise God. You understand what I'm telling you? The Holy Ghost is with us permanently when we are in Christ. Amen. Now, verse 16, then remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was people in the Bible that was baptized again. Sometimes you gotta humble yourself and come to the knowledge of God and just be born again in Jesus' name, amen. And another thing is, real quick while we on the topic, those who've been baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost need to be baptized again because the Jesus said, go and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. And the apostles went and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because the apostles understood that Jesus meant him because Jesus is the image of the invisible God who is the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is a man and man was made in the image of God. We are the image of the invisible God who is the firstborn over all creation. Hallelujah. Right? So when we understand that, we get to understand a lot of other things that come with it. Amen. Verse 16, then remember the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Amen. The gift of God is the Holy Ghost for all true believers. And the gift of speaking in tongues is given to us by the Holy Ghost individually. We get different gifts from the same Spirit so the body can function accordingly. Amen. If everyone had the same gift, there wouldn't be an orderly ran church or a fivefold ministry. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 8 through 11 in the King James Bible reads, For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now here's the cherry on top, right? That speaking in tongues is not the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost or being a true believer. And rather, it's just a gift from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because the earliest reference to be filled with the Spirit is found in Exodus chapter 31, verses 2 through 5. See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. This is actually the first person ever filled with the Holy Ghost recorded in the Holy Bible. And it was in the Old Testament on top of that. He was given gifts to do things for God, but he didn't receive the gift of speaking in tongues. Rather, he got gifts that were best for him. So we see here that the Holy Ghost, once again, like scripture says, gives one gift to everyone according to how he can edify the kingdom of God best in his life. Amen. Now, how do I know they are two different groups of believers that spoke in tongues in the book of Acts? Well, we see that Paul laid his hands on the first crowd and the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they spake in tongues. And in the second group, the Holy Ghost came upon them without the laying of hands in the book of Acts. And they started to speak in tongues, amen. So there's two occasions that Marcus Rogers tries to claim that is the same event. Where in the book of Acts, two groups of believers after being baptized in the Holy Ghost spoke in tongues. Amen. One was with the laying of the hands and one wasn't. And also there was another group that was baptized and did not speak in tongues. Praise God. Because to speak in tongues, once again, is a gift. We could read Acts over and over again and we'll come to the same conclusion. There was groups of people that were baptized in the Holy Ghost and did not speak in tongues thereafter. And then there was groups of people who were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues. Because we see here clearly that it is a gift from God. And to say that you are not a true believer because you do not speak in tongues is one of the most destructive, harmfulest things you could say as a pastor to the sheep that God has placed in your charge. Because it's not true, it's not biblical, and it's of the devil. And that's why we broke the word God, the word down, so people can have the revelation needed to understand that that's a lie. Praise God. And then for those other ones that want to say that speaking in tongues is a language, we see that in the Bible, when reading Corinthians, that it's an angelic tongue that utters mysteries that no man could understand. No man. A man that speaks Chinese, a man that speaks Spanish, a man that speaks Latin. It doesn't matter what type of man he is. No man can understand this angelic language that God talks about when he's referring to tongues in 1 Corinthians, period. You understand that? So they don't understand that there's two different type of tongues. You know, you got people that have the wisdom of God that have been given, you know, abilities to learn multiple languages. And then you got people that's been given spiritual gifts entirely to speak in angelic tongues. Amen. And people don't understand that. Wow. Like if it was just languages of men, you would not need a whole separate gift ministered by the Holy Ghost to interpret it. Because if it was speaking in multiple tongues of men, you would only need that same man to speak in a tongue to interpret it, what he just said. Because he studied what he's saying and he could interpret it himself. But no, you need an interpreter of those tongues because they're two separate gifts from the Holy Ghost that involve angels. One is to share warnings from God himself in the middle of a church service or to the people by the priest. The angel of the Lord could come and deliver a message to the people in the middle of a church, but it needs to be interpreted by another man of God that has been administered the gift of interpretation of tongues in order to reveal what the angel of the Lord has to say to the church in that evening or that hour. You understand? The angelic tongues also, when we're alone, is good because we don't need an interpreter in the angelic tongues. Activates war angels over our lives in those moments. Those angels that are concerning us that the Bible talks about, when you speak in tongues and you have that gift, they activate war angels for everyone around you and in your home. You understand? But that's a gift, and everybody still has angels concerning them. Praise God. Amen. And we have to understand that Speaking in tongues is not the evidence that you're a true believer. That's a gift in the name of Jesus Christ. And you might have a gift that that brother that speaks in tongues does not have. But now here's here's the good news. We all pray in the spirit. And that's when the Holy Ghost takes intercession for you in our weaknesses, and he prays for us because he knows what's best for us. But that's not what utterance of mysteries, praise God, that's with groans in the Holy Ghost, and that's the word of God. To pray in the spirit is the spirit praying for you with groans and not utterance. That's the Holy Ghost word for you this evening. I want you to understand once again that we all pray in the spirit, and that's when the Holy Ghost itself in mid prayer starts to take over in our weaknesses, and we start to groan in the spirit. Abba, Father, praise God, hallelujah, amen. Let's go back to Bible. And then the Bible says that they spoke in, and they understood them in every language. The Holy Ghost was speaking to every single passerby individually. Hallelujah. Because the God of this world could do as he pleases. And in that moment, in that recorded moment in history, according to Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, we see very clearly that the Holy Ghost wanted to speak to every single passerby and let them know that there is a powerful God who exists, and that is bigger than man, and he could do anything, and men could do all things through Christ who strengthens him. So they looked at them like they were drunk when they started to speak in their own native language, but that was the power of God moving in these men, and they spoke in the tongues of them. That had nothing to do with the angelic tongues in 1 Corinthians, and that's what people get confused just because you see the same word, tongues. How many times you see this, the word Lord, and it's a whole different story about the Lord? Come on. Just because you see tongues here and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, you have to have discernment. The Bible says that these scriptures are spiritually discerned. Praise God. And we see here that God filled these men in the upper rooms and spoke to them in their own native language. That was just a move of God. That had nothing to do with angelic tongues. And in 1 Corinthians, that's a whole nother thing. Praise God. But in 1 Corinthians, those are tongues and mysteries uttered to God in an angelical language that only angels could understand. Praise God. So don't think because you don't have that gift, you don't have no power. Because we all pray in the Holy Ghost, the most powerful spirit of all. The Holy Ghost takes intercession in the midst of our weaknesses, and we groan in the Holy Ghost in the midst of prayer, and it fills us with his strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's how we persevere as saints. So understand that if you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, you're still a believer in the name of Jesus Christ. You're still a child of God. Hallelujah. And if anyone says that if you don't speak in tongues, then you don't have the evidence of being a believer, then he's not of God, because that is not biblical and that is not the truth. And it is purely clear that the tongues and speaking in tongues in an angelic language is a gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, so be careful with these wolves who come to you as sheep, gentle and kind. And what they do is they sneak in these destructive philosophies and false teachings, and it leads you in a direction that tickles your flesh rather than convicts your spirit and drives you in the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. So once again, speaking in tongues, my brothers and sisters, is a gift from the Holy Ghost, but we all pray in the spirit with groaning, not utterance, and it fills us with the strength of God in the midst of our weaknesses. Amen. And the speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2, when being filled with the Holy Ghost, was just a move of God, and you need spiritual discernment just to see that God was moving and he was speaking to everyone passing by to show him he was showing off. Hallelujah. And they looked at them like they were drunk. Praise God. The truth, when people hear it and they in darkness, they look at it like it's foolishness. The wisdom of God is foolishness unto man, the Lord says. Hallelujah. But it's okay, because the Bible also says that he's going to use the foolish things to confound the wise things, right? He's going to use the things on low places to bring down the things that happen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're up against spiritual principalities and people in high places. Well, the Bible says he's going to use the things in low places to bring down those strongholds, those people in high places, people who thought they were in high places. Hallelujah. Because the one who's the highest is the Almighty God. And he gave all order, all dominion, all authority in heaven and on earth to Jesus Christ. Praise God. And Jesus Christ, before he gives it back to the Father, he's going to pour his wrath out on all these disobedient children that don't want to adhere to sound doctrine. Hallelujah. So once again, the evidence of being a true believer is not speaking in tongues. It's obeying the works of the Lord, being a reflection of Jesus Christ, not conforming to the patterns of the world, being a good soldier and not getting caught up in civil affairs. Praise God, right? You know why? Because obedience will always be better than sacrifice. Can I get a witness tonight? Mm-hmm. Once again, hallelujah. Speaking in tongues is a gift from the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have it, that does not mean you're not a true believer. Don't let any man tell you any different. Because God and your holy apostle today is standing here as a witness telling you that that's a gift from the Holy Ghost. And you also need an interpreter if you're going to be using that gift in church so that everyone could benefit from you. That doesn't mean it's less than a gift. Overall, it's just less of a gift to have in the midst of a church gathering when the word of God is being preached if there's no interpreter. But if there was an interpreter, that would be the most powerful gift, because that's the angel of the Lord himself delivering a message. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the truth. So a lot of people that don't have it and that want to try to put, they put guilt right back on the person that claims that it's the evidence and say, well, you know, I'd rather have prophecy because that's better according to Paul. That Paul never said that was better. That's you twisting scripture too. That's why I came at Alan Parr as well, and I corrected them both alike. You understand? Because prophecy is not better than speaking in tongues. It's only better than speaking in tongues if you don't have an interpreter in a church gathering. Hallelujah. So once again, speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have it, that's okay. That doesn't mean you're not a true believer. You have another gift. And if you don't know what it is already, God will reveal it to you as long as you continue to obey his word. Man, amen. So once again, this is Apostle Joseph Rodriguez with Truth Be Told, Church of the Living Christ. And here we swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. The conclusion of the matter and the end of the teaching is, and the truth is, speaking in tongues is a gift from the Holy Ghost, and that's not the evidence that you're a true believer, and that everyone prays in the Holy Ghost with groaning and activates the power of God in the midst of their prayers. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that the tongues in Acts, when they were filled in the upper room and the people passing by heard them all in their native tongue, was just a move of God that spiritually discerned when reading the scriptures. We see this clearly. God was just moving and they just thought they were drunk. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope y'all be blessed and you add this coin to your treasure box, because Proverbs 20:15 says, rubies there is and gold in abundance, but a man that speaketh knowledge from his lips is the rarest jewel of them all. Praise God. I'll see y'all next week.